Turn with me to the end of the New Testament, to the book of Revelation. And we're turning to page 1249. We're going to be reading from Revelation and chapter 21, the second last chapter of the whole Bible. And over the next three Sunday mornings that I'll be doing, we're going to look at these last two chapters together of Revelation. Page 1249, let's read God's Word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who had talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. And the angel measured the wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. This is God's word. We're going to unpack this. We're going to look at this in a few short moments. Turn with me to Revelation and chapter 21. Keep it open. Every time a celebrity dies, you're sure to hear many comments about how they're in a better place. They're looking down. They're hanging out, playing tunes with other famous people. Because there's still a lingering idea. There's still a lingering hope for heaven. A place of peace that we can go to after we die. Now, is this just false comfort? Is this just empty words that we tell ourselves and our loved ones? Is it just wishful thinking? Or is it because, as the preacher in Ecclesiastes, that's a book in the Old Testament, as he tells us, God has put eternity in the heart of man, in every single one of us. There's this instinctive knowledge and yearning and longing for a life after death, that this world is not all there is, that we are actually more than this life. We have eternity inside of us, and we are yearning for more. For a life after death. But what is it like? Who gets to decide what heaven is? And how do we get there? Over the next 3 Sundays with me, we're going to get some glimpses into glory as Jesus reveals to us. That's why this book is called Revelation. It's Jesus pulling back the curtain, unveiling, revealing to us what eternal life after death looks like. And no matter where you're at this morning, if this is the promise that you know is yours because of Jesus, then worship God, praise God, thank God, and learn from God what this life after death is going to look like. But if you're yearning, if you're longing, if you want something more, if you know there's a place that you want to be, this life after death, then hear what it's going to be like. Understand where that taps into your longings. Understand and see where that taps into what's inside of every one of our hearts. Don't ignore this. Don't get rid of that voice, that longing, that yearning inside of you. Listen. Listen to the invite. And may this place be yours too. When God says in verse 5 of Revelation 21, I am making everything new. That new means a new place. And we get these opening words of our section here. A new heaven and a new earth. Now, he's not talking about heaven right now. Heaven right now isn't a physical place. We're told that the souls of believers, those who have died trusting in Jesus, are with Jesus right now, waiting for this new heaven and new earth that we read of here. This is Revelation. This is the last book of the Bible. This chapter is telling us of a future place, an eternal, brand new heaven and earth. In 1988, Belinda Carlisle's smash hit, Heaven is a Place on Earth, reached number one in the UK. those words, will make heaven a place on earth. Now, that desire is not a wrong desire. It's just not accomplished by we, by us, by humanity. Instead, we're reading here how it's God bringing heaven to earth. He'll make heaven a place on earth. And he describes that place in verse 2 as a holy city. This is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. This is our glimpse into glory. It's a new city. Verse 2, the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. But notice that actually, when this picture, when this new heavenly city comes to earth, it's actually describing a people. It's people pictured as the heavenly city. Now, the book of Revelation is a book full of symbolism and pictures. Always remember that. It's a really hard book to read. Unless you get it in your heads, this is a book of pictures and symbolism. Don't take the pictures too literally. And the angel who's speaking to John the Apostle, John who's writing this, John who's getting this message and vision from God, the angel speaks and picks up this idea in verse 9. And he says to John, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Okay, he's going to show us a bride. He's going to show us a person. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the bride, the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This holy city pictured here represents the bride of Jesus, represents the people of Jesus, the church who have come to trust and believe in Jesus as their Savior and their great love. Now, the city is not a picture of a literal place, necessarily. It's not giving us a literal picture of heaven, that it's just going to be one city. Now, heaven is not playing harps in clouds. It's not eternal church pews. That's not heaven. Instead, this city is a picture of a people with Jesus. We're not given too much of an idea of what this place is going to look like beyond the fact that it's going to be a real physical place. It's going to be heaven on earth, a new earth. It's a picture of the people who are with Jesus, who trust in Jesus, who have rested their hearts on the Lamb who was slain. This is a picture of you in the new heavens and the new earth. Everything that's said about this city is a picture, is what's true about the people who will be in heaven. God chooses to describe this heavenly existence as a new city because he wants to tell you certain things about that life. If the new city is a new people, then what are the things that will be new for us if we trust in Jesus? As we go through this, then as we go through each part of this city, how is God making your mouth water? How's he giving you a taste through this picture that he's giving? What kind of taste is he giving you for this life to come? Well, the first thing that we look at is that God shows that this new city is a secure city. Now, when the angel describes to him the whole city, he takes him up a mountain. He shows him this bride coming down from heaven. And the first thing that John notices, verse 12, it had a great high wall. First thing he sees, this great high wall. We're going to see that it's actually unbelievably high, this wall. 1,500 miles high, 12,000 stadia. Now, and these walls, alongside that incredible height, they're crazy thick. 144 cubits, each one maybe about 18 inches. That's about 216 feet. Sort of two-thirds of the length of a football pitch. In other words, this city is picturing for us something that is incredibly secure. That's why it's being pictured with this great, high, thick wall. You can think of the wall that divided East and West Berlin. You can think of the Great Wall of China. You can think of Hadrian's Wall. You can think of the one they're trying to build in America. None of them ultimately keep anyone safe. Not safe forever. But this one is different. And it's not really about a wall. The wall is not the thing here. Who cares about the wall in that sense? It's a picture to tell us that we will be secure forever. Nothing in this heaven, in this place, with Jesus, forever and ever, nothing is going to trouble you there. Is that what you want? Is that what you long for? Nothing is going to trouble you there. Heart disease, cancer, miscarriages, Alzheimer's, they can't trouble you there. Oppression, injustice, racism, sexism, hatred, they can't trouble you there. Your own guilt, your own shame, your own fears, your own anxiety, your own anger at yourself, the deep struggles in your heart, they can't trouble you there. Why? How am I so secure? How could you be so secure? Because you've been brought to this city, to this new heaven and new earth. You've been brought there by the Lamb. The city is you. And you are secure in the hands of God. He won't let you go. Which means nothing will trouble you there. If you trust in Jesus, if you surrender your life into His hands, He'll grip you. He'll hold on to you. You'll be His, and He'll never let you go. That's why this heaven, this city is so secure. Nothing will trouble you there. The chapter shows that security, it shows that security with the whole evidence of the whole Bible weaving together, because it gives us so much detail. On the gates of this city are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the foundations, maybe like the buttressing walls that alternate with the gates, if you can picture a sort of classic city wall. On those foundations are the names of the 12 apostles. Now, what does this tell you? It's saying all the people of the Old Testament, known as the tribes of Israel, and all the people of the New Testament, stretching into today and into the future, all the people known as the church, built on the Bible testimony of the apostles, all these people together are secure. Together as the one people of God, this one wall secure. All the people of God through space and time who have looked forward to or are looking back to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain on the cross. They're all secure. You're all secure when you trust and rest your heart in King Jesus. One people belonging to the Lamb. That's why there's security. It's all based on the Lamb. You know, the gospel story, is this wishful thinking? The gospel story is not some cleverly devised fable. It's not some myth. It's not some legend. This is real. The Bible is based on thousands of years of evidence. This isn't just some story. And it's so much more real. It's connecting with the longings of your... We long for security. We beg for it. We're longing to be loved so securely as this. Here it is. Here it is. People with Jesus in heaven right now, they might be happier than us right now. They're with Jesus. But they're not more secure than you are right now if you trust in Jesus. They're not more secure. You are as secure as them. In heaven, there isn't anything that will ever trouble us again. Secondly, this city is also described as a holy city. Verse 15 and 17, you get the angel who talked with John had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city. The city was laid out like a square. Okay, odd detail. As long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long. This is an odd description because when you add it up, what you're getting is that the city is being described as a large cube. It's not like any city I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a large, it's the same length, width, height. They're all equal. Why? Why is the city described as a cube? Well, the people reading this, and if you know anything about Solomon's temple in the Old Testament and how it was built, you would recognize that little detail. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 20, the most holy place where God dwelt with his people, God's presence lived with his people, the most holy place inside of the temple was shaped like a cube. It was built like a cube. And so is this city. The city is a cube, just like the most holy place where God lived. Now, that was the place where once a year the high priest was to bring a sacrifice to pay for the sin of the people. He had to bring a blood payment to cover and pay for their sins. Because God's presence was perfectly holy. Now this city, this heaven, is like that place. It's holy. But wait a minute. This city is not a place. It's a picture of a people, which tells us that when you trust in Jesus, and you come at the end of your life and at the end of time to the new heaven and the new earth, you're going to have something brand new in your life. You're going to have a new sensation in your experience. You're going to have an inability to sin. No more evil. No more suffering. No corruption. No shame. No guilt. It'll be gone. The dimensions here, 12,000 stadia by 12,000 times 12,000. 12 over and over again, suggesting completeness and perfection. The numbers are just symbols. When you trust in Jesus, when he brings you home into this new heaven and new earth, you're going to be utterly secure. You're going to be perfectly holy. No more mess. No more of your own foolishness. No more brokenness. You're going to be clean. I want that. There's nights where my shame and my guilt keeps me up at night. I don't know about you. I yearn to have a life start over clean. No more foolishness, no more sin, no more evil, no more suffering. Because God is holy, because this city is holy, his people in that heaven will be holy forever. This city, just as a third but small detail, I'm not going to go too much into it, but you will also be beautiful. You're also going to be beautiful in this new city. Look at what verses 18 to 21 are getting at. You've got this description of these beautiful stones. These 12 stones are not just deliberate tongue twisters. She sells on the seashore. It's hard to read this chapter very quickly because you can trip over the description, the details of these 12 stones. But they're there to show you the beauty of this place. And they're not random either. These 12 stones, they're not chosen randomly. In Exodus 28, the high priest who would go into the most holy place would wear a breastplate with these exact 12 stones, each one with the name of one of the tribes of Israel. The high priest in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus. Jesus personally taking your name into the presence of God, acting on your behalf. He's your representative. He pays the sacrifice for your sin and my sin. He cleanses us from all our guilt and shame. And don't miss the detail of all the gold, all the stone. You, the city, will be beautiful. Your name is etched onto a beautiful stone. No more will you be embarrassed by your flaws, your quirks. No more will you be annoyed by you saying the wrong thing at the wrong time or not saying the right thing when you should have. No more will you be obsessed and anxious about what other people think of you. No more will you be comparing yourself with others. Everyone in heaven, in this place, will be objectively beautiful. Because you're going to be sharing in the beauty of Jesus himself. He gives you his beauty forevermore. You look around the world, you see people yearning, longing, trying to be beautiful, trying to be precious in the eyes of someone else. You're gonna chase that your entire life. It can consume us, that longing. Here is the answer to your longing. The reason it's there is because your heart wants to connect with the truth that God has given you. One day, if you trust in him, you will be perfectly, unbelievably beautiful and precious. The last thing that this chapter tells us, yes, we're going to be utterly secure. The people of God, utterly secure, perfectly holy, unbelievably beautiful. And one last thing. This city is glorious. Verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now, surrounding this description of you, the new city, you, God's people, as secure, holy, beautiful, surrounding all of this is the glory of God filling up this city, lighting up, shining out in this city. It's not trying to make a scientific point of whether there's going to be a sun or a moon. He's emphasizing poetically with symbolism how central how completely central and how totally illuminating the glory of God will be. No more darkness in this existence. No more night. No more waiting for rest to come. His full glory is here. His rest is here, and it's shining. Here's the wonder of it all, in the little details of this chapter, though. It's amazing. All of our lesser glory and honor, what we receive and accomplish in this life, what we do to the glory of God in this life, it's not forgotten. This life isn't useless. It's not nothing. It's not worthless. What you do for God is not just going to burn up and disappear. In fact, there's a word that we're going to be picking up again tonight in Malachi. It's going to be refined. It's going to pass through the fire, but it's going to be refined into gold. Everything that you've done, all the lesser, yes, it's lesser glory and honor compared to the glory of God, but everything you do to the glory of God on this earth, every moment that you've lived to His glory, comes into that world at the end. Verse 24, the nations will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Everything you do, all of our endeavors for God, all of the things that we do that are satisfying His will for us, raising a family to God's glory, working to God's glory, enjoying this world to God's glory, playing football to God's glory, enjoying the culture to God's glory. Everything you do will be purified, will be refined, will be cleansed, and it will be presented in this new world, and it will lift up even more the honor and the glory of God. This life is not worthless. Live it. Live it to God. Live it to His glory. Do everything you do to His glory. Live it according to the way He asks you and wants you to. It's not worthless. You will be glorious in this new city. But as glorious as we will be in the new heavens and the new earth, it pales in comparison to the glory of the Lamb. You know, as a bride walks down the aisle, it would be a very strange thing if she was just looking at her own dress the whole time. Of course, she's gloriously radiant and beautiful walking down the aisle. She's not looking at herself. She looks up and she sees the face of her groom beaming with joy. Once she's there, her head is up. And she sees him joyous and glorious on that wedding day. In this new heavenly existence, in this eternal city, the invite is there for you. Lift up your head and see the face of the one inviting you into His love, into a marriage with Him, into this relationship with Him. And on that glorious wedding day, knowing Him, being with Jesus, it's the only way into this wonderful marriage, in this new home forevermore. The lamp is the Lamb. All the glory of God that comes and shines to us is through Jesus. The Lamb is the lamp. It's shining through Jesus. He's the light shining in your darkness today. He is the one who has banished the night through everything He did on the cross. He has defeated death. He has removed the sting of death. He is the one who's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Our names will be written into his book of life. It's all about him. Look up and see the face of Jesus inviting you into his glory, inviting you into his love. What are you waiting for? Don't you want this? Don't you want this life? Don't you want this glory? Don't you want this beauty, this security? This is heaven. This is what's given to those who trust in the Lamb. Wherever you're at today, this is what you're yearning for. It's only through the Lamb. I beg you, don't leave it until it's too late. Don't put it off anymore. Don't leave it too late to accept his invite. Do it now. Make this yours now. Know the security of this promise, of this home now. Please. What are you waiting for? This is what you're yearning for. This is what I'm yearning for. This is your future. Now, just trust in the Lamb. He's the lamp. It's all through him. All this will be yours. Through Jesus. Amen.